ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Snowdrops bud in the crisp air. The first signs of garden life surround redwood picnic benches at the moon underwater.
I'm Robbie Knox, and I'm the landlord of the Moon Underwater, a mystical place where guests create their dream pub.
Hello, Dan. How are you?
Hello, Robbie. I'm very well, thanks.
How's your week been? What have you been up to?
It's been nice. Yeah. I went to the spa.
As in the supermarket or the place where you relax?
Supermarket, yeah.
Supermarket,
yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Just stocked up on some...
some stuff.
Some food.
Oh,
drink.
That's good.
Yeah.
Any nice
Got
food?
Got my oat milk. Yeah.
Nice food?
Yeah.
Any specifics?
The bread.
The bread?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Because it's, you know...
Do you know what? I've been looking forward to seeing you, actually, Dan, because I read your article in the Financial Times the other day.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yeah. I did. I mean, personally...
it's funny. I'd almost forgotten I'd done it.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I don't know a great deal about Black Wednesday. Could you, like, briefly summarise the geopolitical and financial circumstance that led to Britain withdrawing from the exchange rate mechanism on the 16th of September 1992?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's good for you... to get the full thing, you need to read the article because it goes into quite a lot
just
of
detail. Summarize it, just to...
So there was, in summary, there was problems with inflation, and there were also, you know, interest rates were extremely high. There were, Thatcher was in a bit of trouble. Well, Thatcher left, obviously, by then. It was John Major just taken over. So there was a little bit of instability there.
Do you know what I've never understood?
Yeah.
Is how the high interest rates the Bundesbank set in the early 90s to counteract the effects of reunification affected things.
Well, that is complicated.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
So you're not going to explain it?
I mean, it's a bit dry. I can go into it.
Can you?
If you want. Later.
Do you know what? Yeah. I'd love to hear this, but who is that? Strolling in with a confident swagger, it's comedian Morgan Rees. Hello.
Oh, hello, Morgan.
Sorry, we just interrupted a chat we were having, Dan and I were having about economics and stuff.
I caught a snippet of it.
Did you?
Yeah, he's dropping a little bit. I'll be honest with you, that sort of chat sounds like the sort of chat you would have either as the pub was opening or closing.
yeah. It's not a middle of the night at any time, is it? First of all, you grew up in Wales.
Grew up in the Welsh Valleys. That's me.
That's a good selection of pubs in Wales. A varied selection of pubs in Wales.
Yes, a very varied. Yeah. Well, there's the family pub. I had the family pub growing up. My Auntie Becky owned the flat in Trelewis.
Oh, nice.
And it was renowned for being really rough. But I knew it as it was a family place. It's where you go and see your family. So to me, just it has connotations of joy and family and all that. But it turns out it's a very quiet pub for a reason.
Yeah. So how often did you Were you there? Were you in there quite a lot growing up then, visiting?
Yeah. You know, you're like, oh, I'm going to go see Auntie Becky. And my cousins were the same age. You know, yeah. So like, oh, I'm going to pop over there and go watch some guys. I loved it. I grew up in pubs. I love this. And then just going around all the other ones, and you go, oh, they're all actually quite alike in Merthyrtonville.
So did Auntie Becky have to be quite tough then if it was a bit of a rough...
I would never get on the wrong side of Auntie Becky.
Really?
I'd actually say that about all the
she
women in my
so
family.
She sounds so lovely, Auntie Becky.
Yeah. I'm not one of those people. I grew up with strong women. Everyone did. Women are strong.
Yeah.
But... My ones are really, really strong.
Auntie Becky's another level of strong.
All of them as well. All the men are short, and all the women are massive. They've all got I say they've not got a type. They've got a pattern, and it's so. I grew up in pubs. I adore pubs.
Brilliant! And when you went around there to play with your cousins or something like that, are you literally in the actual pub?
Yeah, in the beer garden, you know, brilliant. Dancing around the pub, going, get off behind the bar. We don't be behind the bar.
Fabulous.
And looking up, you know, cocking your head and going, I can pull that one day.
Yeah.
I was talking about the person.
Yeah. And did you ever end up working there, or was it just purely just
never did. Worked behind the Students' Union bar all throughout uni, but no, that's very different than a pub, isn't it?
Where were you at uni?
I went to the University of Bath, mathematics there.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, that's my background. I only stopped doing mathematics, my day job, about two weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What were you doing? What is mathematics as a day job besides teaching mathematics?
I was big data. I used to work in big data. Wow. So I worked in a data matching sort of thing. I loved it because I loved mathematics. I adore comedy and being creative, but I love mathematics.
Were you good at maths, Dan?
I was good at in primary school. And then I got to secondary school and it got much harder.
I got a B and A level.
Yeah, I got to be at GCSE. All right. Yeah, I didn't do it.
Nice. What was the work in the student union like?
It was great. It was superb. Met my first girlfriend there. You know, all the rugby boys would come straight because I played rugby as well. It was social sex. So they would all race over to me going, can we get free drinks? I was like, obviously not. Yeah. Obviously don't say that in front of the manager.
Yeah. I remember when we were at uni, we went to the University of East Anglia together in the 90s. And I remember there, you'd occasionally go to someone you knew at the bar and buy a drink. And then you'd come back and the change wasn't quite there. There was obviously something, never a part of this, but I was like, oh, I think they've...
Yeah, sometimes you'd get more change than you'd given them money in the first place.
Yeah.
Especially if it was really busy at the bar.
I mean, if any of my manager from uni was listening, do you know what? They might have gotten, when they ordered 10 Jaeger bombs, there might have been an 11th there, you know.
It just happens. It's a sign. It's hard to remember the numbers.
Yeah, my hand slipped every time I picked up an extra glass.
You don't know maths. You can't be expected to get it.
I didn't do a module on counting.
Yeah. Fantastic. Once you started going to pubs as a pub punter, what were your sort of first memories of that?
I would say my first, actually, I've gone through different levels of sort of pubs. I would say I go into the pub. I would actually say post-uni.
Right.
So I would say throughout uni, it was Students' Union Bar, or you go to Propaganda or wherever the uni night was sort of thing. So again, I wasn't really pubs. And again, growing up as a kid, we would go to the pub in sixth form, you know, the one that would let us. And it was just a family pub that would let you have one or two. But when I was going out, oh, we're going to the pub, I would say, your first job after uni. And that was when I lived in Bristol. And that's where I met Robin Allender. We were friends years and years.
Wow,
we did comedy together. And we used to run a night in the pub in Bristol. And that Bristol is where I fell in love with pubs. And obviously doing the nature of the job. But after uni, started going out to pubs. And
Bristol's a great place for pubs, isn't it?
Superb. I think I've been spoiled. That was the first place I moved to after uni.
I've not been there that often, but I remember going, I was there early in the year, and I went on a boat fully of cider. I imagine this. Was I just
the
drunk?
Apple.
That
was my first ever landlord. He used to own the Apple.
Oh wow!
Yeah, right on the riverfront.
It's brilliant.
You just said I went on a boat fully of cider.
Yeah, it only sells cider. It's like a cider.
Yeah.
Like a boat just full of cider. Yeah, it's on a lake of cider. And you just put a glass off the side.
Willy Wonka
makes more sense.
But it had a huge variety of it, didn't it? It had like little numbers on the board. I think that measured the sort of how dry it was and stuff like that.
I drank cider all throughout uni because it was Bath, you know, yeah. It was just cider, cider. So I don't have cider anymore. I have one cider and my teeth rattle. Yeah. You know, it's that sort of thing.
I drank cider at uni because I didn't like beer at the time. Sort of.
Amen. Yeah, I did exactly the same.
Yeah, but it's so, yeah, big fan of cider. I had a cider the other day and I was like, oh, why don't I drink cider more these days?
It's nice when you rediscover a drink like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good summer drink, I think, of cider.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I had a snake bite for the first time since uni the other day. And then you have it and you go, oh, yeah, that's why that did the job.
Yeah. Yeah. Uni. Yeah. So I've got a question. So how old are you, Morgan, if you don't?
I'm 29. I turn 30 next month.
Okay. You can ask me this question because when we were younger, snake bite was lager and cider, but it was just the colour of that. And snake bite and black was... if it had the blackcurrant in.
Yes.
Whereas I've learned recently from the local student union near to me now where I live, that if you ask for a snake bite, you get the blackcurrant automatically. If you ordered a snake bite in your student union days, would you be getting the blackcurrant?
Yes, you would.
So you don't have to specify the blackcurrant.
Don't have to specify. I know that because I've poured thousands of them when I was at uni. And we used to do the two pinters as well. You know, when you go down to the rugby.
Oh, wow.
And there was a way you had to do it. I think you had to do the cider first, then the lager, and then you had to do a big S in the cordial at the top, and you had to lap it twice.
So it's sort of like a maxi cocktail. Yeah, there's a trick to it. It's like
I mean, like, don't get me wrong. When I was trying to fill the CV afterwards, I did try and make it.
I do cocktails.
I do cocktails. When you're doing that first job and all you've got is like
full clean driving license.
I remember when I was applying for all these data jobs, all my old job, when I was doing all my apprenticeships, I was a labourer, I was a roofer, I was a mascot for years.
You were a mascot?
I was a mascot. I was Derry the Green Dragon at Glamorgan Cricket Club. And all of a sudden, you're extrapolating all these traits and experiences to go, I'm actually really so suited for corporate.
Just what you want for data analysis, isn't
it? Yeah. I can really think on my feet, especially like the time I was Derry the Green Dragon.
So Bath, as you mentioned, a big rugby hotbed. And one thing I know about university rugby teams is they like a strange punishment pint. Were there any strange things that you had to pour for people?
I wouldn't say strange, but you're talking your classic, your dirty pint. Give us what's left in the trays at the bottom.
Right.
And then whoever was, you know, dick of the week that week would have to, like,
trick down a sock and all that stuff.
All that nonsense, And I'll be honest with you, I really egged it on.
Yeah.
I was totally complicit, if anything, the spearhead.
Yeah, saving up stuff from trays.
Yeah.
We got the bucket we used to mop the floor if you want that. Yeah.
But I tell you what, though, we're all so tight. I literally went to my birthday this Saturday.
Yeah.
And I sort of disappeared for a few years when I went and did comedy. And so I moved to London earlier this year. They were all, you know, Bath Uni, they're all in Lincoln Bankers Insurers, aren't they? And all they're all still tight as hell. And
really?
we all still pop for pints. And like, I've come out as well since uni.
Yeah.
And they all come to the queer events I perform at. They don't bloody care. Is it booze there? Yeah. Are you there? Yeah. Wicked.
That's the two things. Isn't it?
Simple taste. Morgan, you get two draft choices here at the Moon Underwater. What is your first selection going to be?
Well, it's a classic. I'm sure you talk about it every other episode. It's got to be Guinness.
Oh, yep.
It's Guinness.
It is the most picked drink in Moon Underwater. Dan, have you got any stats on it?
I have got the stats. I think I slightly overestimated a few weeks ago, but you are the 27th person of all time to choose it. And already the 7th person in the Premier League era. Since me and Robbie took over.
Wow.
So very popular. Very popular drink.
I adore
people
it.
People love it.
I just everything about it. I love the aesthetic of it. I love the look of it. To me, that's my winter drink. We'll go on, my other draft is my summer drink. Guinness is my winter drink.
When's the crossover point?
Ooh, well, I think it's the moment it gets sunny, I would be honest.
Okay.
Like, I'll be honest, I'm never really in the mood for a drink, the moment the sun's out.
Yeah.
And I'm a big day drinker. I love a drink.
Oh, I love a day drink. Oh, it's great. It's my dream now. Like, if I go and have a drink in the evening, I won't sleep very well. And then the next day I'm tired. I make bad eating decisions. there's a lot of downsides. My dream now is to go out maybe 2 o'clock to the pub, drink till like six.
Yeah.
Drink, go home, food, water, sober up by the night time, and I'm fine the next day.
Oh, I'm 100% behind you. I adore it. You're more alive. I'm a more of a day person than a night person anyway, so I don't have to. I'm just waiting all day.
Yeah.
Just like a kid waiting for Christmas.
Gotta start drinking it.
Yeah. You just go out in the day and you go home and you get a full night's sleep.
Yeah.
And but yeah, so that Guinness, I just love. Do you know what I love about Guinness? The hunt. The adventure.
Oh.
No one ever goes, oh, you got to go to this one. Oh, they do a good Thatcher's. No one said that.
No. Yeah. That's true. Have you tried the Coors Light in this pub? Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. You know, always everyone goes, they do a great Guinness. They do a great, and it's finding that place that does a good Guinness. And especially with my job, I'm here, there, everywhere. Sometimes I can go, I found a good Guinness. Mm. I found a good Guinness. I can go to my, especially I've just moved to London. I'm just telling all my friends, I found a good Guinness. I found a good Guinness.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like a signal. It's like a signal of I'm having a chat.
Yeah.
To me,
yeah.
A Guinness is a chat drink.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. What is that amazing Irish pub? Right by Soho Square.
Toucan.
I was getting the pecan in my head, the toucan. Yeah. I mean, it's not the pecan.
It's around the corner, there's some nice cakes.
Yeah. But just there, just that. That's the one thing I love about London. I've just moved to London, is that it is such a great pub city.
Yeah.
And again, people outside, just outside having a drink on their two feet, talking. Oh, I love it so much. And it just, again, have you been to the Guinness Factory?
No.
It's superb. I had the worst argument I've ever had with an ex there. And like,
What was it about?
It was about how we were both brilliant. We're just too brilliant.
It was about, this is not the best Guinness ever.
And I'd been waiting for it for so long. We had this massive argument. And we were going through, and I know it really annoyed him. Because like, we were in a really bad place, but I'm just like a kid. asking him to take photos of me next to things. I hate you.
Yeah. They've all come out blurred. There's like half of you in most of them.
Yeah. He's photoshopped all of them. Yeah.
Lovely.
Oh, the Guinness Factory is phenomenal.
Is it?
It's beautiful. It's really interesting. Like, I don't know about you when it comes to like museums. Like a museum, but I spend most of the time reading the plaque on the side.
Yeah.
And the Guinness Factory really is like that. And it's really immersive. It's so superb. And then right at the top, you can actually get a pint as well. You see the whole of Dublin.
I walked past it a couple of months ago when I was in Dublin. And it sounds mad, but just how many lorries were just constantly coming out or bringing in Guinness. Like, it was like they were queuing down the street to get in. And out and all this sort of stuff. Because, I mean, they do get through a lot of Guinness in Ireland. It just makes sense. Yeah, I know. I'd love to go sometime.
Yeah, I'm even into, like, the history of, like, how the image of it has all changed. Like, when you see the pumps, you know, it's a square red box and, like, and then the different logo changes and the way they've incorporated all those different primary colours after a certain while. It gives it almost like that tropical feel. You just go, oh my God, I'm in love with this pint.
Yeah. I mean, the marketing for Guinness is unbelievable, isn't it? It's just interesting looking at old Guinness ads and old toucan ads and that kind of thing. You know, all saying Guinness is good for you. All of that's fascinating.
Yeah. Is it loads of iron or something?
Yeah.
There's also loads of alcohol in it.
Just
try it. Yeah.
Overall.
But it's interesting that you're really into it because when you drink it, you waste a bit, don't you?
A little bit.
Yeah, because I don't know if you know this, but Guinness actually did they commissioned a survey about, and you'd be the same. It'd been a survey of people who've got facial hair. And they're actually 162,719 pints of Guinness go to waste every year through facial hair.
Because that's brilliant. I had no idea what the hell. I thought you'd gone mad or something when you started talking. I was like, what are you doing about?
No, it's true. Right. And they worked it out how much gets trapped in a beard or a moustache with every sip. And then they sort of worked out roughly how many people were likely to have facial hair. Then they did, well, you're like this, they did all the maths, worked out how many pints of Guinness were drunk. And that's like $500,000 worth of Guinness just gets sort of lost in beards and moustaches.
But we've got quite good facial hair, so maybe that's the secret.
That is, yeah. So
could well be.
There's all these people putting olive oil into their skin, slapping all those rollers. You know,
what's
all
you the
need
key to your luxuriant beard? Yeah. Booze. Yeah. Just pouring booze into it. like an alcoholic Mr. Twit.
Yeah.
Oh, fabulous. What's your second choice, Morgan, for your draft?
It is, I did want to do, because I think honourable mentioning, I listened to the Glenn Moore episode and I was so on board with, I think there should be non-alcoholic beers on draft.
Yeah.
But he's covered that, so I got a booze one. but the Jubel Peach Lager.
Oh, yes.
Oh, is that nice? Yes.
Hey!
What's that materialising in front of us?
What's that? Tell us about the beer, Morgan, while it slowly materialises.
I came to it late. Oh, thank you very much. And it does sort of go against, so it's like a peach lager, which very much goes against my ethos of beers with regards to stop putting weird things in it.
Putting vitamins in,
I'm all for invention and creativity, and you never know unless you do something new. But stop putting blackberries in my stout. Yeah. You know, I don't want a chocolate cider. You know? But you just got, you know, each to their own. But I found this in one of my favourite pubs in Bristol. It is the Crown, just around the corner from the Mother's Ruin, and it's a brilliant pub. And I whenever someone says, "Oh, where should I go in Bristol?" I always go, "You got to go to either the Avon Packet, which is one of my favourite pubs on the planet, or Mother's Ruin and the Crown." And they sell this here, and it's just got that brilliant fresh crispness and the sharpness of a pint, as you'd imagine, but also just that little bit of something different.
Yeah. Mm.
And again, I think I'm too scarred for my cider days, but I still want a little something.
Yeah. A little bit of fruit there.
Yeah, it's not sickly, I think is the word I'm searching for.
Yeah. There's a place in Norwich where I live called Junkyard. Junkyard. It's a sort of like, I guess, like some food, lots of little food stall type things over the summer, and the bar there sells this. That's what it makes me think of here. Let's open it up if you want to. No requirement to
that's
of the day if you don't want to.
Bit of Dutch courage.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
Oh, that is nice.
Just the right amount of peach, isn't it?
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head there.
Do you find it gets too much after a while, or do you find it's fine for a long session? Are you quite happy with that all evening?
Yes, I am, because it's just, again, just that right side of not too peachy for me. And can I? Yes. Have I? Definitely.
Will I again? Almost certainly.
I've had some brilliant nights on it. Because, again, I love steins, and they sell them in steins.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they can do. I mean, in fairness, you can pour any drink into the stein, the more I say it out loud. But they typically can put it in the sun. I love it. I adore it.
I've just come back from Oktoberfest in Munich. The steins there, with liters steins of beer. Incredible. They're so heavy. A liter.
I love a beer keller. It's so much fun.
I was going to,
because I turned 30 this year, I was going to do that as my third. But I'm November. Yeah. So I don't know whether I can get away with it.
I'd well recommend it. It's so good. Dan, what do you know about Jubel?
Well, the thing that I think you'd quite like, Robbie, is that it's Jesse Wilson, who co-founded the company that make it. He was inspired by an après-ski drink that he had called, it was called a demi-pêche, which is a pint of lager with a peach top. And so he just thought it was incredible. And so he went and started experimenting himself. I think he's basically just sort of bought, a bit like you were doing when you were making beers, just bought the kit and started experimenting, and then took this peach beer along to a festival. with no proper branding or anything, and just sold out. And he said he'd like quit his job the next day. And
superb.
That was it, yeah. So, and they do an elderflower one and a grapefruit one as well.
I see what you mean about this being a summer beer.
Yeah.
It tastes of summer, sort of.
Yeah, it has that, everything about it. The fruitiness of it, the sweetness of it. It, to me, just I got sunlight. I've got the daylight in my brain whenever I sip it.
Yeah. Reminds me of a bit of having canned peaches. I haven't had canned peaches in years, but that was the hit that I got.
Yeah, I've canned peaches quite. I get through quite a lot of canned peaches these
days. You're a big fan.
Well, I started making overnight oats.
Oh,
and you can get the peach juice and put the peach juice from the can into your oats overnight with milk or plant milk, whatever you're using. But then keep the peach back and then chop that up over the top.
Oh,
whenever I make overnight oats, they stay overnight for nights.
Yeah.
Wake up in the morning and think, I'll have those another.
Yeah, they have a massive liar whenever I make overnight oats. It's at the end of the week, I mean, oh, yeah.
Terrific. Well, I'm thoroughly enjoying this. It's going very well. Session like a 4%. That's the dream session.
It's really nice.
Percentage, isn't it?
It's only as I'm getting older that I'm actually looking at the percentages now. Mm. I wouldn't be able to tell you the percentage of anything I've ever drunk.
No, we had Richard Archer from the band Hardfire on the other day, and he was saying he picked K cider. I had no idea. I used to drink it all the time. It was like 7.5%. Yeah. I didn't know. I was like 5 or something.
You just don't look in those days, do you?
Now it's the first thing. I go to a bar, go, right, look at all these beers. Let's see which ones are the lowest percentage of alcohol.
I remember me and all my single friends at uni used to go to the Bath Cider Fest because it was always on Valentine's Day.
Wow.
And so everyone else that had girlfriends or boyfriends or partners, they would not be going to the cider festival.
Yeah.
It's essentially a singles meetup. But there we would go up the rankings. You know, I think you'd have Bee Sting, which was like 15% or something. Oh, you would work your way up to that and then wonder why you were single.
Yeah.
So a lot of thinking on the way home at the end of the night. Yeah. A lot of self-reflection. Brilliant. I looked up, you're from Merthyr Tydfil.
Yes.
I looked up Merthyr Tydfil pubs because I've never been out in Merthyr Tydfil. Most of the articles I find were about one pub called the Wyndham Arms. Mm. Are you familiar with this?
No, I'm not. I assume you'll have to film me.
Well, this is a description. It was from the Daily Mirror, which is an article about it. The Wyndham Arms in Merthyr Tydfil has a reputation for having an older clientele who are not afraid of having a scrap. Locals said that strangers from other parts of Wales would turn up at the pub and would not stop long. One said they're either carried out or they're knocked out.
Oh my God.
Surely that can be both. Reviews online describe it as a popular haunt for ex-miners and boxers and not for the faint-hearted. Unfortunately, the booths appear to be temporarily closed. At the end of 2020, it was forced to shut for 2 weeks for not enforcing coronavirus restrictions.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So, but that was the end. That seems to be, it was on some show about Britain's hardest pubs as well. But what are the highlights?
It's the same thing about the landlord being called Auntie Becky.
No. What are the highlights of the Merthyr pub scene?
Oh, well, I tell you what, I'm just a little bit down. I'm sort of like, because there's Merthyr. I always say Merthyr because no one knows exactly where I'm from. So I'm from like Trelewis, Quakers Yard, Treharris area, just a little bit outside.
You're right, I've never heard of any of those places.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Merthyr,
yeah. So it is just your classic sort of, aka that pub.
Yeah.
Which I love.
I love those pubs.
I feel awful. I feel so torn and conflicted about it because my favourite pubs are the ones where inside it's cosy, it's got age, it's got experience, it's made all centred around the start with a nice big beer garden. But typically on the outside, it's very Brexity. So it doesn't look out of place having a Union Jack there. I was like, okay, if we just take that down.
Yeah, it's way perfect.
But I love going into a pub and all the optics, there's sticky notes saying double up for a quid, you know, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. That sort of pub where they've got the draft and then when you order a pint underneath, you hear the can cracking.
That's the thing about, because I was going to say, a lot of these pubs here are... This sort of pub I genuinely quite like, because when you get in there, you tend not to get attacked unless you do something bad, sort of thing. And it is, they're quite friendly places, sort of thing.
They are
to friendly. A point.
Yeah, they are friendly places. I like it because now I, since coming out as well, like I try and make sure I am a bit more visibly queer. I mean, I'm not today. I look like I'm on my way to the polo. But I like walking into these pubs in a skirt and ordering a Guinness.
I've got into skirts.
Oh, really?
I love skirts. Yeah, because for ages, I've always wanted to wear a skirt. I'm from, my family are from Scotland, and I wore, I like wearing my kilt occasionally. And I've always, every time, whenever you'd see like David Beckham in a sarong or something, you think, oh, maybe men's skirts can become mainstream and all this. And it was, and they kept being all these false dawns of skirts. And I always thought, I just want to wear a skirt. And then recently, like Harry Styles, and there've been quite a few sort of fashion people wearing skirts. And I thought, do you know what? I'm just gonna get a skirt. And I got a skirt, and it's brilliant.
It's so nice. It's so great because sometimes you go, I just want to wear shorts, but I don't want to wear shorts. I want to wear something short. Oh, a skirt, wicked.
Yeah.
And bum bags are back in, so you don't have to worry about your pockets too much.
Oh, you see, I know. I got one with a good pocket. It's a long black skirt, sort of buckly tie, but nice. Pocket in the back, brilliant, love it. Yeah, slight aside there.
I think they're so comfy. Yeah. I think skirts are so comfy.
Yeah, I do. I want to get more skirts, but I don't know what I want in a skirt. I'm so new to the world of skirts, but
need to experiment.
I do.
Yeah,
100%.
Don't get me, the high heels are a nightmare, but
yeah. Let's not go too far. Yeah.
It's all about the comfort for me. Yeah, it doesn't fit in.
But these sort of pubs, I love them as well because when I first started drinking, or like going out with the lads, it was playing rugby on a Saturday Sunday, you know, under 16s, you know, and then going up to 18s. You know, that's when you go to like a local rugby football club, and there would be the main area. But then if you go through that door, you go to the bar bit.
Yeah,
and they're the aesthetics, they're the places I love. Maybe it's just all stem from those memories of I just drinking and having an absolute riot with my friends and all their parents. We'd all drink together, and I just only remember that time being joyous, even though you could have lost horrifically that day, and we'd all still drink and have a great time.
But that makes total sense, doesn't it? Like, if you have those experiences in those pubs, then you're going to have those warm memories of them. So that's what the great thing about the pub is, I think.
Yeah.
Like, you just have those. It's all about nostalgia and memories and walking into a place and going, oh, God, remember that time this happened? Or, you know, we got hammered again, you know, in the rugby, I mean. And then we got hammered again afterwards. Yeah. I think that's all what makes a pub a great place.
Yeah.
No, I adore it.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
We We need to continue making your pub, though, and you get two bottles or cans.
Sure thing.
So, what's your first choice?
My first choice is, and I was going to make it one of my drafts, but is Clearhead. It is a non-alcoholic lager from a Bristol beer factory.
Never had it.
It's super. It's a pint. There's no other way of describing it, really. Brilliant. It's like having a pint. And I've had some other sort of non-alcoholic lager because I go through periods of not drinking as well. Yeah. If I've got a project coming up or I'm traveling a lot, I need to protect my voice or just other bits and bobs sort of thing. Like, I'll be honest, I'm a binge drinker. So I the way I drink now is I pencil in a drink.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go, oh, I'll have a drink in 4 or 5 weeks' time.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And then I'll be clean and an angel up until then, and then I am a monster.
It's definitely something that gets discussed a lot more now, alcohol-free or low-alcohol beers, isn't it?
And yeah.
I mentioned here that there'll be some nights where I'll just have them, and some nights where I'll have them every third drink or something like that, rotate them in to prolong the session a bit more sort of thing. Yeah.
But even though, so Glenn was saying about having the pint of it, I think that was a big thing for me whenever I'm on having non-alcoholic beers, is, oh, if I can have a pint of it.
Mm.
Like, it's like when you go dancing in a club, isn't it? I just want something in my hand. I went to the Village Inn, the gay bar in Birmingham this weekend. I just needed to have a Diet Coke in my hand. That's all before I would have had pints. Gin, but I was trying, it turns out I just needed something in my hand. I was a baby with a pacifier, essentially.
Yeah.
But this is what this Clearhead's brilliant. It's a really crisp, light lager. It's similar to Jubel, but just without the peach. And it's the first non-alcoholic pint I had when I went, that's a drink. This isn't a pretend.
It's not a poor version of what you want. It's
exactly.
Just, yeah. I would really want to try that then. Clearhead.
And this is... it's Bristol Beer Factory, isn't it? Did you have it in Bristol first?
Yeah, I used to live across the road from it.
Okay.
Bristol Beer Factory. My whole 7 years there, so I was really fortunate.
Because it's got an interesting thing about the beer as well, because it was made in collaboration with Talk Club, which is. Do you know much about Talk Club?
No, of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, the gym I used to go to used to reserve a space for that for Talk Club.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah.
It's just a place for people to go and sort of talk over issues and, you know, and get support from the local community and network and just chat. And they wanted, and sort of talk about feelings and that kind of thing. And it's been a little idea that I think it started in Bristol.
Yeah.
And it's sort of grown around the world, I think. And then they wanted to have a non-alcoholic beer that you could have at meetings and stuff. And so they collaborated with Bristol Beer Factory to make this. And they donate money to Talk Club as well. So when you buy one, you can feel doubly good about doing it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bit of money going somewhere nice as well. Yeah.
I really thoroughly recommend the Bristol Beer Factory as well. It's a great, they've brilliant gifts, Clearhead. I got those friends that don't drink, either whether it's faith-based or just decide to knock it on the head. It's whenever I go back to Bristol, I swing by the Bristol Beer Factory, and I think there's a deal where you can literally just go in with a cardboard box and they'll fill it up for a certain amount.
Oh, nice.
With the cans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Liquid sloshing everywhere, yeah. Yeah.
And it's a brilliant gift. I've given it to so many of my friends that don't drink, and they've just gone, oh, game changer. Thank you so much.
But it's great, isn't it? I mean, I think it's such a growing thing. I don't think I realised till we started doing this how much of a growing thing the low and no alcohol sort of market's become. Like, you're the sixth person already who's either chosen a no alcohol or low alcohol, and everyone's chosen a different beer as well.
Oh, brilliant.
So it's kind of like, it just shows you not only people starting to drink them, but there's a breadth of choice starting to be around, and people are finding beers that they really like that they can drink as much as they want of, and, you know, the tastes are getting much better and that kind of thing. So it's a real growing movement, isn't
it? Well, I was speaking with my dad the other day, because my dad's one of my best drinking buddies, and we were saying, I really hope we move to, well, I think it's like a little mini wish of mine, I hope we move to a world where there's the sober pub and the booze pub. Yeah. So you just go, oh, let's meet up tonight. So you just go, oh, I've got something on tomorrow. We'll go to the sober one.
Yeah.
Because it's still like, because you don't want to go for a coffee at 8 o'clock, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's like, we'll do an activity. It's like, I kind of want to tell you about my relationship. Yeah. I can't really do that.
While I'm ice skating, yeah.
Yeah.
It's great, isn't it? Because there's definitely a need for that. Because I sometimes think I want to go out and do something, but I don't want to drink. I don't want to go to the cinema. I just want to go. I don't want to drink, as I say, coffee because I want to sleep afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, sober pubs are good.
But I think just, yeah, just go to the sober pub.
Yeah.
And you still get that. Cause I think the pub is so conducive. Just whatever it is about the interior design or logic, yeah, or magic that is, it's just such a great place to chat and laugh. And it captures it all, doesn't it, as well? He rebounds off the walls. I love it. And I wouldn't want to lose that for being sober. So I think it's just a great place for sober people is sober pubs.
Maybe it's great, like, idea. When we were at uni in a student union bar in Norwich, there was the main bar where people could smoke in. And there was a back bar that was non-smoking.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like that now, but the next level with drinking. You could have a main bar, you can drink, but there's also a little side bar, just purely for non-alcoholic drinks.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
It's nice.
You mentioned Bristol being good for pubs, but it's great for breweries as well, isn't it? There's so many good ones. Left-Handed Giant.
Oh, yeah. That's a great place to go for a drink as well.
Right by the river.
Right by the river.
Lovely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are good stuff.
And that's the good thing about Bristol. Don't worry, it's hilly, but you can walk around it really well. And it's a great pub crawl city.
There's a great one on an industrial estate that I've been to in Bristol. What kind of it's called now?
Oh, I know exactly. South Bristol. It's
Park something.
Oh, Park. I used to not live too far from it, I know exactly what you mean. Oh no, I miss Bristol. The Cat and Wheel. I used to love the Cat and Wheel. Karaoke every Thursday, Sunday. No one can sing. No, it's exactly the pub.
Thursday
I love.
And Sunday.
Yeah, Thursday and Sunday. You know, there's sandwiches there in Clingfirm on the side. They've been there longer than I've been going there.
Okay, so we've got Clearhead in there. Another bottle or can?
Bottle this time. Ben McPon, I might mispronounce this one because I don't think I've ever actually said it out loud. I've always just grabbed it off the shelf. DV Katana Malbec.
Oh. I know Malbec, but I don't know the specific Malbec. What's the thinking behind this?
The thinking behind it is it's really nice and it's always on offer in Sainsbury's. A friend of mine introduced me to it, my brilliant friend Chris Fay. But I used to grow up, my divorced parents, can you tell? But my dad always used to have a different lodger quite frequently. And for some reason, he just went through wine merchant after wine merchant after wine merchant. So I did, you know, I'll have a glass with dinner sort of thing. So I had so much wine growing up that I similar to cider, I sort of turned off it after a while. All these wine merchants that my dad lived with. But then I started dating again. I was like, well, I can't go. Do you want a Guinness with our tie tonight? So there you go, all right. And then someone introduced me to my brilliant friend Chris Fay. He said, I think you want to try this Malbec. Because a fair play to him, he'd been doing some research by himself. And he just found it. And literally now, the clear head's my gift for everyone that doesn't drink. This wine is my gift for everyone that does drink.
Brilliant. Nice.
I like the sound of this.
Damn. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I didn't know anything about it because I'm not a wine expert. But it's quite interesting. Like, their families as kind of responsible for bringing Argentina on the wine map, the people that make it. And their Adriana Vineyard is quite famous because it's at 5,000 feet above sea level. And the Nicholas Catina Zapata, who started it, had done this sort of loads of research and found out that grapes at exactly that altitude or in that area mature really well because of the air and the soil and all that kind of thing. There's loads of science gone into it.
Yeah.
And basically they just sort of say that they focused on entirely on quality, and that's sort of what they're famous for, is why it's such a good wine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what,
it's beautiful. It's worth looking up the vineyards. I'll show you this, their vineyard looks absolutely stunning. Look at that.
Oh, wow.
Good lordy.
It's like a sort of a weird castle
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just looks, this is all in the Andes. Look at that. Ooh. Andes Mountains. Not great radio, not great podcasting. Yeah. But it's a vineyard with this background of sort of snow-capped mountains just looks incredible.
It gives me God of War, sort of like Skyrim energy.
Do you, Is it red wine that you generally go for when you drink wine?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. White wine in the summer, red wine in the...
You're stuck to your seasons, aren't you?
Really? I do. You've got to mix it up a little bit. I tell you what, it's a bit naughty, but it's a little hack. No one ever really looks up a wine when you buy it for them. So one thing I did used to do is buy that wine, because it's about a tenner in Sainsbury's. And I used to go to a wine shop and say, if I give you a fiver, can you wrap this up like it's expensive? And then, so then when I used to give it to people, I used to pretend it was much more expensive than it was.
That's a great trick.
That's incredible commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know much about wine? Do you have any
I lost my sense of smell when I was a teenager. So I haven't got, unless something's strong, I don't massively pick it up, you know, sort of thing, I'm so glad I do have a sense of taste a bit. So a lot of, when it comes to wine, it's drinkable or not drinkable, really.
Right.
So I wish I had an articulate palate and a deep palate. Yeah. But
I'd like to know more about food and wine matching. But I met a sommelier once and he was saying to me, what you want to do is match it with food from the area. Because when historically these things have come up because it's the wine that fits in with the food sort of thing. So a lot of the time, if you are getting a white wine from next to the coast, it's probably going to go with seafood and stuff like that, which I find quite interesting.
Yeah.
There we go.
I wonder what it is for the Andes Mountains. If you have a goat.
Goats. Mountain sheep. Yeah. I don't know where else.
Alpacas.
Alpacas. Yeah. Alpaca burger.
Yeah.
Great. A couple of lovely choices there. And now, Morgan, do you enjoy a pub quiz?
I do enjoy. I'm rubbish at them.
Well, I also am not great, which is going to be an interesting challenge then, because Dan, it's time for your pub quiz.
Okay, phones away, put a gag on Siri, it's quiz time. Elvis's black belt was in karate. I saw it on QI. No half points for saying J.K. Rowling is the lead singer of Jamiroquai.
Moira Stewart.
No, I'm afraid it was Gordon Honeycomb.
It is the pub quiz, and you'll be both glad to know in that case that you've got a 50-50 chance with each question on this. So it's not too bad. Or more, if you know the answer.
Obviously,
Morgan, you've done a couple of videos. You mentioned you're turning 30 soon. You've done a couple of videos about what you wish you'd known at the start of your 20s that you know now.
Yeah.
Which are great. They're on your Instagram for anyone who wants to go and watch them. So I sort of thought I'd do a quiz about, it's about turning 30, basically.
Oh, wow. Brilliant.
So, for example, was Michael J. Fox over or under 30 when he played Marty in Back to the Future? The answer is he was under. He was 28 for Back to the Future Part 3. Okay. He was 23 when he did Part 1. Okay? Ooh. So, I mean, it's good, it's good and bad, because some of these are going to be people who've achieved things at an incredibly young age, going to make us all feel useless. Okay, so the way this works, I'll do three questions, have a think about them, don't answer now, and we'll do the answers in the second part of the podcast. Okay. Question one. Was Alexander Graham Bell older or younger than 30 when his patent for the telephone was granted? I've worded that carefully because there's quite a lot of stuff now that we think he wasn't the first person to invent the telephone.
No, we don't want to get into that.
Let's open that kind of letters
we'll get. telephone enthusiasts.
Was Sean Connery, this is question two, was Sean Connery older or younger than 30 when filming took place for his first role as James Bond in Dr. No? And the third question, was Beyoncé older or younger than 30 when she released her first solo album, Dangerously in Love? Okay.
I don't know the answer to any of those, but I can guess.
But you've got a 50-50 chance.
Okay, thank you very much for your pub quiz. That is the end of the first half. It's time to leave those of you who don't support The Moon Underwater on Patreon. If you don't subscribe, head to moonunderpod.com and sign up to get ad-free extended episodes a day early, a monthly bonus podcast, and access to the Moon Underwater Social Club on Facebook. We'll see you soon in part two, where we'll carry on creating Morgan's dream pub. We'll be right back.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.